Welcome.
What's up? We're back
at Center.
Yeah.
Is up.
Presented by Bite Federal. Crypto wallet, point of sale, and ATM. Go bank yourself. Hit like and subscribe. Thank you for joining us. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good.
You're doing good?
Yeah, and yourself?
I'm doing fine, but did you hear about this Chinese woman? She's not doing so great.
The goddess of wealth.
Yeah, the goddess of wealth.
She's
yeah.
The goddess of wealth.
She, here she is. She scammed 128,000 people. There's been some sort of like minor accomplice who I think was also gone to jail. But I mean, she couldn't have done this all on her own. But she scammed quote unquote, or people who were 50 to 75, generally speaking, investors. And then she took them or stored the money in Bitcoin and crypto, I guess.
And fled China.
To the UK.
That's the only way you're getting out of China with 61,000 Bitcoin.
So kind of, I mean, this seems like somewhat of a sophisticated, it sounds like organized crime.
They didn't tell us what the scam was exactly.
Well, I think she was scamming investors out of, you know, saying, I'm investing on your behalf.
Yeah, okay. Send me,
that's what I got from the research I did.
Right.
And, you know, and then she flees to the UK after doing this for several years. And the Bitcoin that she stored it in, because they recovered, the UK government has recovered 61,000 Bitcoin, I think, from her. So, and that's appreciated quite a bit. So her lawyer's like, hey, they actually,
so investors are going to do okay. Bitcoin for sale.
Yeah. But the lawyers, her lawyer's like, hey, everyone's going to do okay here.
They're going to get back to all the victims.
She hodled. And she wasn't
so
able
she wasn't, to. Then it's not a scam. She was investing their money.
Right.
It's just a forced liquidation.
Yeah.
We're shutting the hedge fund down. Sorry, guys.
She just got really good kicker, and they don't like that. So right. They threw her in jail. But it looks like it's with the U. Is the UK going to keep the 61,000 Bitcoin and become what the third largest strategic Bitcoin reserve in the world if they do, right? Probably the or right ahead of Ukraine.
Well, we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
We'll see how smart they are.
Yeah, sure. And brighter pastures. Well,
I mean, they probably need it now that they're launching their digital ID. They probably hand it out to all their favored people.
Sure. We'll see. And then this one I thought was a little bit more notable, a little more humble brag, you know, to friends and family. Yeah, this guy.
This guy.
His IQ is 276, reportedly. I didn't know the chart went that high. That's how low my IQ is.
Exactly.
But he believes that Bitcoin will grow by as much as 100-fold over the next decade and become a global reserve asset. And so he supposedly went all in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty intense. Good for him. That's kind of exciting, though, because you could say to people...
Hopefully he didn't just call the top.
Well, he says the future of money.
I'm going to buy the top.
Well, he's making sort of a long-term thesis.
Yes.
And he's saying, it sounds to me, it's like, listen, the smartest person in the world is like, look, I went through my own algorithm, and it's sort of like, what is the best thing to do here? And it's sort of, and, you know, the answer is binary. So it's like going all in on the thing that you...
Yeah,
that you're convinced of.
Hey, John, we think he's smart.
He passed my test. All right, let's get into the show here.
All right, let's do it.
It's Bitcoin Center, brought to you by Bite Federal. Go bank yourself. Hit like and subscribe.
Let's be real, right? Praising Telegram for launching a Bitcoin wallet. I've always felt like Vitalik.
Bitcoin, this digital currency that's out there that people say, oh, it might be the next big thing. What do you think?
I think it's rat poison.
Bitcoin. You never heard of them a few weeks ago? Now everybody's talking about them, but is it a currency?
I don't know. Or is it more like a stock? Or is it a tulip bulb?
Or is
whatever
it just
the date that?
Stupid.
To me, it smells like Ponzi scheme and the greater fool theory, right?
If you do like 5 minutes of freaking research.
Well, good. Thanks for coming to my set talk.
Yes.
Don't buy shit,
Bitcoin. Oh, man, I didn't get that wrong. All right.
Bitcoin's recent rally.
Do you agree? Is crypto finally dead? Go to the next one.
Matter of fact, they're kind of in the Ethernet. What are they?
There's some rumors that it's a Japanese guy, but I would say no, that he's a fake name. It was a pseudonym.
You're literally putting real money onto a system that we don't even know who created it.
It will come to a bad ending.
Is this the most exciting bull run ever?
Not for me. No, it's not.
Like little
Welcome to Bitcoin Santa, the fast-paced show where the debate is the
story.
We
never went to the moon anyways.
Yeah, well, we did, you and I. It's just as real as the other one. So, we lost the technology, though, since this morning when we recorded that. Loop Dasher's hard fork leak. So there were leaked texts showing that Core Dev mentioned something about a Bitcoin hard fork. I'm going to let you take it from here.
Luke said this is all garbage. He's denying it. So I don't think we really know where we stand on this. I don't know if those are really his text. I don't know that we can know for sure. All we know is that they're claiming that Luke's proposing a hard fork. Luke is denying it, and I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, even if the texts are real, taking texts out of context, I think sort of betrays trust. And they're out of context. People can kind of riff on hypotheticals. And I'm not saying they are real or not and even whatever. But
I mean, if those really are his texts, he literally said, like, I've got to think more about this, just something to that effect.
Sure.
And like you said, he could be just riffing and just kind of thinking out loud to somebody he trusted.
Yeah. What is your?
I mean, he said a couple times in there, like, I need to, like, we could theoretically or something, we could do something like this, but I got to think about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting about the law firm writing a proposal. I guess the Ocean law firm or the lawyers that work with Ocean writing a proposal about how to maybe regulate spam in the Bitcoin network. If that comes to fruition and we really see that from that team, then maybe this is all true.
What is all true?
Like that maybe Luke is – maybe that this group is actually considering this as a solution.
Oh, a hard fork.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think it's good to consider it as a thought experiment and what that would mean. But I don't think that's what we want right now, and I don't know if this is – Right. I don't know. There's no way.
Look, there's two different. Like, we're worried about Core allowing exponential amounts of spam to easily be put in the blockchain, which can lead to all sorts of stuff we don't want in the blockchain.
Yeah.
But this is like a process by which to censor, which we don't want that either.
Right.
If this is true, right?
Right.
So, man, I talk about between a rock and a hard spot.
One of the interesting sides I've heard from Core is if everyone's doing drastically different sort of filtering, then it's really hard to ascertain system-wide what's going on in the mempool sort of the greater mempool, and to kind of do more predictions and things of that nature. And, you know, it's not consensus rules. So, very interesting debate. I wish a compromise would be found, which would be around, like, just raise it to what Adam Back said, Dr. Adam Back, like around 160 kilobytes or something like that. Give it a little bit more room. Let's see what that does.
Right.
We don't have to go all the way to 100,000 right now. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I think let's move on.
I see a question here. European banks, Euro stablecoin. The consortium of 9 major banks, ING, UniCredit, etc., is forming a company to launch a euro-backed stablecoin. With Europe's banking giants tokenizing the euro, will Bitcoin's role as global money be sidelined or strengthened by fiat-backed competitor?
No, it definitely won't be sidelined. I think that's sort of tongue-in-cheek. I think this just really speaks to Europe trying to catch up. And stablecoins, we've been talking about this week after week. I mean, the United States government has been rolling out the red carpet for stablecoins and crypto. And, you know, I really think I dwell a lot about how if the United States government really controls most of newly minted, control is not the right word, but if a lot of the mining is here, where newly minted Bitcoin is here, Bitcoin that's bought and sold is with dollars, primarily on American exchanges. That gives America a lot of control over sort of the peripheral externalities of this asset. Mm-hmm. And I think the rest of the world is trying to figure out what to do about that.
I think the banks are actually in a better position to do something like this than the central bank doing a CBDC. I think a CBDC put out by the central, or by the European Union, central bank would fail horribly. They just don't seem to have capabilities technically. They don't seem to have consensus with the European Union. I think anything put out by that entity is going to be horribly. No one's going to trust it. No one's going to want to use it. It's going to take brute force to get people on board.
Right.
I think the banks would have a far better shot.
So right now, global stablecoin issuance stands at nearly $300 billion. And euro-denominated stablecoins total just $620 million. So just from market dynamics,
euro is, as a currency, has a lot of problems. Just putting it into a stablecoin isn't going to fix that.
Right. But this isn't even, they're hoping it'll get this done next year. Launch. I don't even have a CEO yet. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of vision. I think they're just really sort of scratching and mm-hmm. Throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
I mean, Tether has a euro stablecoin.
Right. So is it the euro? Only 620 million of right. the of the 300 billion.
No one's using that compared to the dollar.
So. Right. All right. Let's move to the next one here. Speaking of Tether. Tether has a $500 billion valuation bid. Mm-hmm. Tether is seeking $15 to $20 billion in funding at a roughly $500 billion valuation. Is a $500 billion Tether valuation proof of crypto's maturity or a looming credit bubble?
I think it's proof of the maturity of the stablecoin market. I wouldn't say crypto market. Looming credit bubble? What's looming about it? We already have a credit bubble. We've got a massive credit bubble,
right?
At a sovereign level, right? So I don't know that this is something that signifies like the top or the end. Tether is an incredibly profitable business.
Tether doesn't even need this money, probably. This is interesting to me. I want to know who puts the money in.
True.
Cantor, Fitzgerald, Goldman, or which banks. Which government funds?
Which is why they're getting such a good valuation.
Yeah.
Because it's probably just, okay, we'll let you in, but
yeah,
you're going to have to pay up.
So we'll see. Let's move on to the next one here.
Bitcoin dips on revised GDP data. So the question, Bitcoin fell below 111K after revised US Q2 GDP. Does new sensitivity signal market fragility?
No, I don't think that signals market fragility. I think this is actually a signal of market maturity. Just how we're seeing volatility come down a lot in this phase of Bitcoin. I don't think volatility is coming down forever, but right now it's coming a lot lower. I think news is impacting the price a lot less, or at least esoteric news. We have this like the beginnings of a civil war, and I don't think the news is reacting to that. So, because I think that it recognizes this is a very mature asset now, and there are very mature players in the space. This is not retail. I mean, the ETF at, you could consider retail, but generally speaking, your smartest investors in the securities market, your value investors, your long-term hodlers. So I think it's a great sign. You would think that we're back at 113, so we didn't even stay down that long.
I don't think that any of the price movement of Bitcoin was reflective or caused by that at all. I think Bitcoin is just trading around whale liquidation and treasury company acquisition, and it's bouncing back and forth between those two paddles on the ping pong table.
Yeah.
I think that's irrelevant of any of the news, actually.
Do you think Bitcoin OGs are still selling and are the predominant sell pressure force right now?
I believe so.
You do? Mm-hmm. And is that just, people who might have had coins on something like Silk Road or just hodled a really long time?
However they got them. Yeah, these are people that from like 2010 to 2012 that have an enormous amount of coins and are now maybe worth hundreds of millions or billions. And it's time to seriously think about
like liquidity, like stability.
What's my estate plan? What's my tax plan? Sure. How do I get this to my kids? What am I going to do with my life? Like,
right.
It's a whole new world for you.
And do you think then those coins are getting dribbled out as they're plodding through these things, or like?
I think that probably some of it is getting sold, some of it's getting moved into Bitcoin treasuries, some of it's probably getting moved into different trust and insurance products and
all. Okay, I got one for you. Do you think that if people are buying, say, a Bitcoin treasury company at a 10 mNAV,
okay,
5, 10, whatever it is,
yeah.
So it's like I give company XYZ $10 and they have on their balance sheet or whatever. But let's say they buy $1 worth of Bitcoin. This is 10 mNAV. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I had gone out and bought Bitcoin, I'm buying $10 worth of Bitcoin.
Right.
So in a way, is that sort of like taking pressure off the Bitcoin price because dollars are getting diluted? So Bitcoiners are like, I want to put $10 of my money into Bitcoin, right? And into Bitcoin price exposure.
$10.
Right. Now I can give $10 to this company out of 5 or 10 mNAV and they could go lever up.
Right.
But I could have put that directly into Bitcoin and gotten more spot. And all of us together, if there is a together.
That's a great point.
Like that's something I do think about.
Yeah, because you're really diluting
your purchasing power.
Yeah, your purchasing power.
Right.
And how much Bitcoin you're getting per dollar.
Right.
When you go that route in hopes that they're going to outpace your ability to keep purchasing.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. It maybe has a more long term.
And I think the biggest fervor we've seen over the last 9 months.
That would explain a lot of the volatility contraction. Like you could be FOMOing into these Bitcoin treasury companies. And essentially diluting your ability to hold more Bitcoin.
And all Bitcoiners.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a real good point.
That's something I'm thinking about. All right, let's move on to the next one here, right?
In these halls, ideas are born long before they become history. Today, a seed is planted. A conversation begins. Not of gold. Not of oil, but of a new kind of reserve. Digital, decentralized, beyond borders. It is only a question, only a thought. But thoughts become debates. Debates become decisions, and decisions shape the future. What would it mean if Sweden prepared for a world where Bitcoin is as strategic as steel once was? Where mining is a part of the energy strategy? And Bitcoin laws secure innovation instead of stopping it.
All right. This is Bitcoin Center 22. If you're enjoying the show, this is presented by Byte Federal. Go bank yourself, crypto wallet, point of sale, and ATM. Hit like and subscribe. So what did you make of this? Let me set that up a little bit. Jan 3 brings Bitcoin to Swedish Parliament. You just saw the clip. Yep.
I think it's great that Jan3 is doing it. I mean, this is what their mission statement is, and it's wonderful that they're out there talking and educating. I don't want to give people the wrong impression that this isn't like a parliamentary meeting on whether Bitcoin's going to become a treasury asset or something like that. This is an educational first step. So planting early seeds and, hopefully they'll go that route. I think it's a good first step.
What blows my mind is every week now it's some country trying to figure out stable coins, another country trying to figure out crypto payments, cross border, a different entity talking to a government, educating. It's really wow.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right. Well, let's. I think it's time to go to the lightning round.
All right, Cedric. So the UK banks are testing tokenized deposits. A group of major UK banks announced a pilot to tokenize bank deposits on the blockchain for payment rails. If banks put deposits on chain, is this a win for digital finance or a way to crowd out the trustless alternatives like Bitcoin?
I don't think this is a win for digital finance. I don't think this crowds out the trustless alternative like Bitcoin. This is really like there's like multiple teams out there and this team's just like fumbling the ball. And they're just like, Bitcoin bad, stablecoins bad. We're going to put our own dollar, our own currency on a block, our own private blockchain, and call it a token. And I don't know. It's, you know, I mean, again, they're going to, everyone, I do like experimentation. As long as it's not predatory, but this just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But the UK is just really struggling now. Again, this is sort of like red flag laws with cars.
Yes.
They completely just destroyed their, you know, sort of, let's call it for better or worse, a crypto economy. And, you know, they're very burned down the house. So this is them trying to figure it out from here.
Right. We couldn't kill it. So now we have to do it and we're going to probably do it very poorly. The it reminds me of like when, for our younger viewers won't have a clue what I'm talking about, but when the internet came out, and every bank got the intranet.
Totally,
it's the same freaking shit.
Well, you know, and when the internet came out, a lot what was considered the internet back, so this, you know, it was AOL, America Online, and you'd go into their walled garden.
Yep.
And they basically had, you know, chat rooms, and they did a lot of experimentation that then permeated the greater web, and they had the most network effects for a while.
Yeah, my first email account was AOL.
Yeah, and they would send out those disks, and you would get 1,000 hours free of AOL. They actually did an accounting scam where they capitalized all those disks.
Really?
So, yeah, every one of their competitors expensed those types of programs. But AOL and their auditors, now EY Ernst & Young, made the argument that, well, you know, for every 1,000 disks we send out, maybe 4 people sign up and they stick around for 3,000 hours and we get X amount of dollars. Wow. So we're going to capitalize and bleed this out and expense this out over a long time, which enabled them to sort of inflate their stock price and buy all their competitors. And their stock went up about $5 billion, you know, the total market capitalization. And by that time, they got fined like $500 million. But it wasn't really, you know, it's a good good deal, you know, so.
So it's going to be curious, but this is next. Let's go to the next.
All right. Digital euro on horizon. All right. So the EBC official signed a digital euro signal. Digital euro could be launched by 2029. How dangerous is a CBDC to European Bitcoin adoption?
It's going to drive European Bitcoin adoption.
I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
What if they all get ensnared?
What? No. Like, yes. The CBDC is
going to... You don't think...
I think the CBDC is going to fail horribly. I mean, it hasn't done well anywhere it's been launched. Every CBDC project has very, very little take.
Wait till the fangs come out, though. And, you know, you get it. Maybe like, they're teasers where you get a little more interest rate, higher interest rate return. Maybe you're
people are more inclined to trust a business than they are to trust a central.
Wait till you can't get a mortgage without using stablecoins and having X amount of deposits. And
this is what would have to
capital controls.
You'd have to have the mandatory digital ID. You'd have to have it all have to be mandatory and authoritarian for it to have any uptake.
Right.
And I think the world consensus at this point, and it doesn't consensus is not the right word. You don't need over 50%. If you have a small percentage of people that don't obey this authority, it will throw the whole thing off its rails.
And you think you have
just like the anti-vaxxers during COVID. It doesn't take a large portion of the population signaling how this could be used against them to divert the entire project. And if they don't have 100% uptake,
or if they have 92% uptake or 72%?
I should have said 100%. If they don't even get 30% uptake, it's not going to work. Not to mention all the super hackers that are going to just target CBDCs. This, I mean, you think like once they've got, once they hack into that system, they're just going to be giving themselves credits, taking credits away from politicians. So you're going to have Starner,
let's see where this new goes.
CBDC wallet, and some hacker's going to drain them. I mean, it's going to be an all-out war. So it'll be entertaining.
I put a higher than non-zero chance that it goes really well in Europe. And in the U.S., we got the same thing through a private-public partnership.
I think it works in China only.
All right. Well, let's see. We'll monitor it this week to week. Let's go on to the next one here. China pauses Hong Kong real-world asset tokens, I guess. Mm-hmm. Beijing ordered major brokerage to halt real-world asset tokens.
What? I think you skipped one.
Ah, September. Yeah. Sorry.
September turns green after all. Woo! My own question. Crypto markets rebound by month end. Is red September a thing of the past? Maybe.
I love looking at these kind of graphics where you can kind of try to read the tea leaves and what's going to happen next. But every time there's been a green September, October has been very bullish and very green. So
I'm not going to make up.
I don't think red September is a thing of the past. I mean, this is such a young asset,
right? Like, if this would have closed a day later, or even a day earlier.
I mean, 16, 17 years is not even going to be a trend or really material in 100 years.
It's a nothing burger.
Right. All right, moving on. That's why I skipped it. All right. China pauses Hong Kong real world
asset
tokens. Yeah,
this keep is going. You're doing good.
Yeah, I'm trying,
this is,
man.
This
I'm,
is your
I'm
question.
All grown
you
up.
Read this.
All right. So Beijing ordered major brokerages to halt real world asset tokenization in Hong Kong. Does China's clampdown on tokenized asset trading signal caution or protectionism that might drive more decentralized crypto adoption?
Okay. Real world assets in Hong Kong. They're paused, and it wasn't a mandatory, it was a suggestion. China is worried about capital flight, and real-world assets are a way for, like our Chinese lady scammed 128,000 people to flee the country with assets. So real-world assets are kind of freaking them out because Chinese high net worth are able to transact in real-world assets in Hong Kong, and then who knows where they go. The other thing is maybe less authoritarian, and that they want to make sure that real world assets are actually there behind the tokenized asset. So remains to be seen. When it comes to China, I kind of lean towards capital controls and a worry about capital flight out of the country. But maybe they're just trying to make sure that it's really regulated.
Have things really calmed down in Hong Kong?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
They were pretty violent during the COVID era.
Yeah. I wonder how long before China invades here. All right. Let's move on.
I'm going to go on this one anyways. Hong Kong seems to be inking itself a nice little position in China because of all the gold trade. But anyways, BlackRock files for Bitcoin premium income ETF. Will the demand for yield-driven products ever fade into oblivion, or is this hunger for yield part of human condition?
Oh, it's completely part of human condition. It'll never fade. Tremendous appetite for it. It makes sense.
Dude, I can tell you from managing money for years, people love something that just strokes them a check every month for doing nothing. They love it.
Yeah, well,
they love dividends. They love yield. So
income revenue makes the world go around in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Much more, a thought experiment. If we ended up on a desert island and we both had gold, like it wouldn't really, and there were no goods. I mean, it's not going to really do much for us. Right. I mean,
the aliens would come and pick me up, bro.
Yeah. No, I mean,
because I have the gold
production.
I'd be getting off the island. Because
whoever has the food would have all the wealth,
What's interesting here is I'm wondering if BlackRock saw sailors
Yeah, I think they're definitely jumping on MSTY and WNTR and the Yield Max funds. It's a smart play for them. And I think people are always searching for yield.
Plus, they get to buy more Bitcoin.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they manage the account, the fund.
Yeah.
All right. This is my turn.
This is your turn.
Okay. Senate hearing on crypto taxation. Will the upcoming hearings on digital asset taxation lead to clearer tax rules? Are we on a good path here?
The tax rules are not unclear. I don't understand.
Crapo announces this?
Crapto?
Mike Crapo. He announced it.
I the tax rules are not unclear. They're very straightforward. The IRS considers it property. You can just chat that and find out what taxation is on property. If we're on it, are we on a good path? Maybe not, because as property, we have the ability to conduct wash sales, which means if Bitcoin drops, we can liquidate and immediately buy it back at the exact same price, lock in that loss, report it on our tax return, and have Bitcoin at a lower cost basis. That only exists in property. And if this Senate hearing is to eliminate that rule, then we're not on a good path. But remains.
I don't think we're on a good path. I think there was a lot of hopium at the beginning of the year. I just don't think we're on a good path. And I think that's coming. I think they're going to eliminate the wash rule.
Yeah. Hopefully.
So those are the ones.
Hopefully nothing else.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Yeah. Well, that's the beginning. All right.
Regulators probe crypto treasury stock moves. The question. The SEC and FINRA are investigating unusual stock price spikes ahead of several companies' Bitcoin buying announcements, raising concerns about insider trading. At this fragile early stage in Bitcoin treasuries, how critical is it that actors avoid behavior that risks tainting the entire practice with mistrust?
I don't think that's critical. I think it's critical, though, if they if there's bad behavior, that it gets found out and prosecuted.
I think it depends on who the bad actors are.
Okay, what does that mean?
Apparently politicians have been doing this forever.
Insider trading.
Yeah, that's what this would be.
So fine, then. I mean, are you saying that it should be legal for everyone to do insider trading?
No, I'm just saying it's going to depend on who they find as
the target. Yeah, sure. No, I'm not saying, but it should be a fair and just search for predatory behavior.
Should be,
and they should clean that shit up if there is.
The only person I ever.
It'd be great if there is none. It'd be great if these people.
Who do you know that's gone to jail for insider trading?
Who do I know?
Martha
Stewart. Jason Carrick from my high school. He was part of a Ponzi, the largest Ponzi scheme ever on Long Island, a $400 million Ponzi.
I think Martha is the only big name person that's ever done gone to jail for not for Ponzi
for insider trading.
For insider trading,
yeah.
I know guys get busted, like no name guys, off the radar guys get busted, go to jail for insider trading.
Yeah, I just don't think
Nancy Pelosi, the Trump family. You name it.
I think what this is getting at, though, is
Fed officials insider trading, and they just resign.
Do you care, though, if these companies have bad actors and it gets found out, and is that bad for Bitcoin? I mean, what are we asking about? The price, then. Is that bad for Bitcoin's price?
It doesn't reflect on Bitcoin at all.
Would the price react?
No. The price of... No.
Okay.
The price of Bitcoin?
So this notice, I think these... They're looking at 200 companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that this whole thing, even if this becomes a permanent aspect of finance, out of those 200, there's got to be 3% of them are bad.
So you have a board and you have some executives.
Maybe 10 or 20%.
They know they're about to launch a massive Bitcoin buy. The shares are trading at a below one MNAV. And they go out and they load up on their shares, and then the Bitcoin buy comes. Right? This shit happens all the time on Wall Street. All the time.
Yeah, I don't think much is going to come out of this, but I'm just saying if there is anything that they find, I don't care. I don't think it's critical for Bitcoin that they don't find that.
No, Bitcoin doesn't care.
All right. UK rolls out mandatory digital ID. Britain now will require digital IDs for right-to-work checks. Can this ever be implemented without threatening civil liberties?
No.
We got a clip for this one. Let's build a clip.
All right, let's go.
And that is why today I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID. It's as simple as that.
Oh, man.
I think like maybe five people in the audience clapped, if anything. Like, talk about political suicide. This is not gonna, like, I really think you have to question this. Is this to create internal, like, such internal pressure that that Europe explodes? Like there must be some greater.
They don't want to fragment Europe.
Why?
They want to unify. They want one world government.
They want one world government. How did they get that?
By fragmenting?
Yes, by conquering the division.
Sure, I understand.
Right? So you got.
But don't you think this is like a test case for digital ID?
Mass migration. You got the digital Vax Pass. You got the digital ID. You got CBDCs. All this stuff, which they. Any poll, any research is going to show you nobody's in favor of this shit. And then he's just flat out saying, like, it is going to be mandatory. That's literally, like, inciting violence against your people. And it reminds me when Willy Wu...
But governments do that all the time.
Yeah, I know. But Willy Wu back in 2019 said this. He said, World War III is not going to be between two great powers. It's going to be... between the governments and their people.
Right. That's
the whole point, right?
So the people are not going to fight. I think you have way too much optimism for the people fighting back. That's where I think we differ. Yeah. I just don't think enough people are going to fight back, which is going to make it really difficult for the people who want to fight back to put up a good fight. And, you know, you do a country by country and see what works. If it doesn't work at all, you back off for a few years, you try something else. I mean,
I'm just generally more optimistic that all of, like, evolution has always been pushed by massive risks and problems. So I don't think we'll just roll over. It doesn't mean it's not going to
be. That was the biggest message from Dave Collins' talk on Carlson. It was that we're not coming back. We're already long past coming back.
This is where I disagree.
And
I disagree.
The noise is just so overwhelming that humanity is going to be led into a little mousetrap.
I think portions of humanity will.
I think large swaths. I think it starts in the UK.
COVID, right?
We
saw that happen.
Yeah, they turned it off and they saw what they could do and they rattled the cage.
Yes, and people really thought that was a serious risk to their own life and their own family. Nobody's going to think the CBDC is a risk to their life and their family. It's going to be a complete...
Wait till they give them an event. They say, oh, they're not taking it up. Let's...
Yeah, then that's exactly. So
you know.
That's what they're going to do. They're going they are going to probably run a false flag to try and get uptake. We've thought that this was the case for many, many years, right? As soon as we knew about CBDCs back in 2018, 17, we were talking about this. But that people are waking up to the fact that a lot of these events are staged. And a lot of these events have ulterior motives and purposes. And I just guess I have a broader faith that humanity, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not going to say it's overnight, but we're waking up to it and we will push back against it.
We'll see. I this week I'm not as optimistic as you are. I don't think you met. I think we just went through.
See, but this is the way. I guess this is how I embrace the chaos, because I've always felt like nothing gets fixed until it breaks. I've seen that over and over again, and it's going to take a great breaking before we get a great awakening. So that we don't get the great reset.
Yeah, I that's what I want to.
Let's do it. Make it happen.
We're doing our best. So let's move on to the next one. You read this one here.
No, it has NYDIG critiques Bitcoin MNAV metric. How should investors react to NYDIG's claim that the traditional MNAV metric, market cap divided by BTC held, is misleading?
So the reason they think it's misleading, NYDIG says, you know, this does not take into account operating businesses. Mm-hmm. I don't know what case they're citing, because I think this is in reaction to, I'm assuming this is in reaction to Strive acquiring Semler Scientific. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to make the claim that they're trying to defend Strive's sort of premium, I think, on Semler. And Semler had, you know, less than one MNAV. I think it was valued by the market. And I think they paid two MNAV. Mm. So I think NYDIG's trying to get out in front of that. Because Semler, though, I don't think is actually has positive cash flow. I'm not sure. I don't think they have positive cash flow. I think they just,
I thought they did have.
I want to look into that. And I think they just, well, it depends on how you, if you account for, say, like a one-time, you know, expense of like a lawsuit.
Okay.
So, you know, they just actually loaned out their coins at like 10% to get money to pay back their like $40 million lawsuit. Mm. So, you know, I do think you could make an argument if companies were profitable that you can't just look at sort of like their NAV. You have to look at the operating business. Mm-hmm. But I'm not aware of any of these companies having, you know, sort of positive cash flows or high material positive cash flows, you know, or a track record of that. So, you know, noted, but I'm not sure what it applies to right now.
Yeah.
You know, so let's move on. All right. Google backs $4.6 billion Bitcoin mining expansion. This is interesting. What does Google's massive, almost $5 billion backing of Bitcoin miners mean?
Man. I hope it means they're going to start getting into this game.
Is this an AI play?
I don't think so, because these what I read is that these are both sort of like green miners that use, you know, what do you call it? Regenerative, or what do you call it, like an energy?
Clean energy.
Clean energy, sure. Whatever. And so, but the fact that they're putting so much money into Bitcoin miners in particular, I find very interesting. I don't know if this is just...
I think this is an AI play.
Diversification. Gotta be, you think they want to...
They probably have massive power that they want to have access to. So yeah, it's probably a nothing, hardware play.
I didn't see anything I'm about them sure. like wanting to insert AI into their facilities. But yeah, it could be.
Yeah, well, a lot of miners are pivoting towards, mm-hmm. You know, large public miners are pivoting towards AI.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, let's get into the last one here.
AI-focused Bitcoin miners outperform peers. Why are Bitcoin mining companies pivoting to AI cloud services? Seeing a 57% stock gains versus flat Bitcoin mining. And what does AI pivot trend mean for the broader mining industry's valuation strategy?
I think this is just a cat and mouse game with the market to find valuation. Let's see. So over the past month, Bitcoin mining stocks with clear AI HPC pivots gained an average of 57%, adding $16 billion to their collective market capitalization. Over the past 3 months, this cohort achieved a cumulative average gain of 100%, outperforming Bitcoin. But, you know, you can see here on September 9th, Nebius Group secured a landmark deal with Microsoft, adding $17 to $19 billion in revenues over the 5 years to provide Microsoft Azure with expanded infrastructure capacity to, you know, NVIDIA's latest AI hardware. Mm-hmm. So I think this is more about sort of providing, you know, capacity to their clients and the market finding value in that. That's what I gained from this.
I mean, it's interesting that, you know, you would think about in previous cycles, hash rate would come down during the bear markets on a lag. And hash rate's incredibly high right now. So there's a lot of energy chasing a few coins. And it might make sense for all of these miners to divert to people that will consume energy at a much higher price where that's feasible.
Right.
Because Bitcoin miners have always got to go search out the cheapest possible energy, where AI can pay a lot more. So will this pull down hash rate in the Bitcoin network at a time when it seems excessively
high. Oh, I don't think this is going to pull down hash rate. Not at all. No, I don't. I think this is just more about more power coming on, more access to power, more securing long-term contracts. I mean, the Microsoft's CapEx grew $24 billion year over year to support demand for its cloud and AI offerings.
Do you know, can AI server farms be like off-grid, way out in the middle of nowhere?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think... I wonder how much of this is in Texas, and it's to kind of help manage being the grid. And when you're not Bitcoin mining, you can AI and other things. But yeah, I think this is more about getting, I think that the AI has been very profitable for these companies and securing these huge deals. So, and then these huge companies are trying to secure access to data centers. Mm-hmm. So, and future data centers, because a lot of this, these contracts are based on demand that's not even been built out yet. Selling future demand that's not even built.
Mean it's interesting though that they would invest specifically in Bitcoin mining, so hopefully there's something more going on there that we're not aware of.
Yeah, that too, we'll see. All right, well, I think that wraps us up for this evening. Bitcoin Center live stream number 22, brought to you by Byte Federal. Go bank yourself. We got the crypto wallet, we got the point of sale, and we got the ATM. Put it in custody, self-custody, stamp your micro seed, use your code matrix for that.
There's also, besides Bitcoin wallet, there's Bitcoin vault, where you can create unlimited addresses, hold your own keys, and it's lightning enabled. All of our products are lightning enabled. So
nice.
Stack and send at light speed.
Join us next week. Ask Q&A.